So holding on your Dynamabase, fourth line. We said in the Mishnah that if the person has in mind when he's taking the Koimus or the Mincha or doing any of the other Avodas, he plans to eat the parts that are not normally eaten, namely the Koimus or the Levonus. Oh, okay. You really don't need that. It should be fine from there. Do whatever you want. Okay. Having in mind that he's going to eat the part that's not normally eaten or burn the part that's not normally burnt, the Tanakhama said it's kosher, Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible. So we started discussing why does Rabbi Eliezer say that? Because the pasuk says that he ochel ya'ochel mitzazevach shlomo, which uses a double expression of eating. That teaches us. Now everybody agrees to the basic idea that that means there's two kinds of eating: a person eating and a mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer says among the things we learn from that is that they're interchangeable. That it's possible that he's able to have in mind about the part that's normally eaten, that it should be eaten, that is burnt on the mizbeach, or vice versa, and that would make a tick. We said the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim would say that we learn from that hesish that if he uses an expression of eating regarding the mizbeach, if he says that the fire on the mizbeach should eat it, or he has in mind that if he burns on the mizbeach, either way it would be piggle, and also that the haktara that he has in mind has to be a tzadik. But not to say that Chachamim will still say he has to be having in mind to eat the part that's normally eaten or burn the part that's normally burnt. Okay. So we're holding the fourth line of Yedzayin Amabay. So for Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says, "In Kain list of Rachmana im ochel hey ochel inami im ye ochel." Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, then it should use the same verb repeated again. That's all it's trying to tell you, as the Chachamim are saying, that there are two types of achilas, but all it means is that they're similar as far as that you can have the word achila in mind, and it covers both of them. Or that both of them require a kezias, then it should repeat the exact same verb again. Instead of my he ochel ye ochel, why does it say it in the way that it does? An infinitive he ochel, and then a future tense verb ye ochel. Shamit minotarti. So Rabbi Eliezer says that implies that you can learn two different things from that. Yes, we can learn the din that you Chachamim are saying. That is a similarity between them as far as they're both a type of eating, so that if he has in mind that it'll be eaten, consumed, then it works in either case. And also, as far as the idea that they both require kezias, but in addition, Rabbi Eliezer says the fact that not only the Torah uses two words, but also two different words, allows us to also derive another thing that he can have in mind regarding the part that's eaten, that he should be burning it, or vice versa, and that will also make it clear.
Sometimes you don't pay attention to these. You know,
there's
a difference between the same
shoresh. That is true, and Tosfos actually has a discussion about this, that even Rabbi Eliezer himself, in some places, in Shas, does darish in this way, and in some places, and in some places not. Tosfos gets into a discussion of it. Yes, you find sometimes that they'll say Dibra Torah Kolosh Mnei Adam, but Torah uses the common terminology, and sometimes not.
It's very variable, we don't know when.
It's very variable, yeah. I mean, in other places, Tosfos talks about some possibilities. Why in some places we should dash in one way, and in some places we shouldn't. Over here, Tosfos just leaves the question open ended. Tosfos brings from examples throughout Shas where we see that there's variation in that, but doesn't really take a position on why it should be so. Now there are other places where Tosfos.
It is said that you can use the variation.
So yes, I mean the Gemara is saying over here that you can use the variation. So.
So over here,
Tosfos is saying that we don't know on the basis of what. There are other places in Shasta, there's a long Tosfos in Sota, for example, that discusses it. Tosfos says that one thing is that maybe we're talking about where they already have an existing Kabbalah from their Rebbeim or an existing Svara, then they'll use the variation in wording.
Rabbi Eliezer, in other words,
really what it'll be is Rabbi Eliezer according to the answer over there. What it would be is really Rabbi Eliezer knows this being the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. However, he can use the variation of the pasuk. In other words, there's a difference between using the variation of the pasuk to derive a new din that we didn't know before versus to buttress an existing din. Okay, that's one possibility that Tosfos mentions. I'm looking at the Tosfos and Tosfos. But yeah, you know, as I say, you have a very long post that discusses about those, that discusses all the pros and cons of it.
The point is,
that's how it is, but therefore, I believe there's learning from that. Okay. Omelet of data lalabasi, however, of data after lalabasi, the time of Rabbi Yezim, Shum Hachihu, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yezim's reason is based on this limud from He'ocho Ye'ocho, meaning, in other words, it would be fully Daraisa. In that case, Kodesh Nami L'chayev. In that case, if a person had a machshava like that regarding the korban, that he's going to eat from the kodesh, that he's going to burn the shirayim, for example, it should be full-fledged kibble, and it should actually be chayev kodesh.
Because
if it's learned from a din, if it's learned from a pasuk in the Torah, then it should be like any other case. Now you might answer, okay, so yes, he's chayev kodesh. What's the problem? After all, Rabbi Eliezer did say in our Mishnah that, well, the thing is that the expression in our Mishnah was that Rabbi Eliezer poisel. The poisel implies that he said possible but not kibble. So, well, that's the question. So you're going to answer maybe yes, maybe he does say it's kibble. The problem is, but you yourself, Rav Asi, have told us in the name of Rav Yechanan, murder Rav Yezer, Shain, honors Kodesh. That no, Rav Yezer agrees that there's no Kodesh involved. Now, if he's learning it from an Ocho Yocho, why not? Amalei Tanoyim. So Rav Asi answers him, it's actually a machloit of Tanoyim within what Rav Yezer holds. Tanoyim here, liberty Rav Yezer. Ikalamanda Amos Stola Darai, says the Ikalamanda Amos Stola Darabam. You have two different opinions within what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Everybody agrees Rabbi Eliezer said that the korban is no good, but two different opinions of Tanoim what Rabbi Eliezer said. One that is kibble, which would be the Araisa, and one that is possible, meaning the Rabban. In fact, Tosfos asked the question, then in that case, what are we doing with our Mishnah over here? Rabbi Yochanan was talking about our Mishnah and explaining that Rabbi Eliezer is that Rabbi Eliezer is learning from the Pasuk Vima Ocho Yocho. So in that case, then why in the Mishnah is he using the word Pasuk? So Tosfos says, okay, maybe in the Mishnah we're talking about Chutz L'Mekomei as well, so therefore it's not Pasuk anyway. Chutz L'Mekomei, maximum opinion is Pasuk. There it would be Pasuk Daraisa, as opposed to here we're talking about Pasuk D'Rabbanon.
Even if he had the machshava,
if he had a machshava chutz l'mekomei, then we've learned previously, we've learned in the Zachim, and we've learned earlier in our Masechet. That's possible. It's not fair for you.
If he had two machshavas, one.
Then we learned before, if it's within one avodah, does one cancel out the other one? If it's full of two avodahs, we have a machshava to be hold down the chachamim. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So, Yitanya. Now, how do we know that there were two different opinions within what Rabbi Eliezer says? So like this, we learn a braita. Hashoichet as a zevach lishtois midomer l'mocher. Suppose a person shechs the korban, having in mind that he's going to drink some of the blood of it tomorrow. Now the blood goes on the mizbeach, but here he's thinking about drinking it, which is achilas adam. He's thinking about achilas adam regarding something that's supposed to go on the mizbeach, or lahakim b'sari l'mocher, or he has in mind to burn on the mizbeach some of the meat of it tomorrow, where the meat is meant to be eaten by people, and here he's having in mind to burn it on the mizbeach. Lechol me'emur of l'mocher, or he has in mind to eat from the emurim tomorrow, which, again, the emurim are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. So all these three cases are cases where you're interchanging achilas adam and achilas mizbeach. In all those cases, kosher, Rabbi Eliezer is posel. In all those cases, the chachamim say the korban is kosher, Rabbi Eliezer says it's posel, and the braita continues.
Wait.
So far we said posel, which could mean daraisa, could mean dinabah. L'haniach midomoy l'mocher. What if he has in mind to leave over some of the blood for tomorrow? So he didn't have in mind to actually, sprinkle it tomorrow. He didn't explicitly say that I'm going to sprinkle it tomorrow, but he had in mind that he's going to leave it for tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda postal. So Rabbi Yehuda says in that case, then it is possible. If he had in mind to leave over some of the blood without specifying what he's going to do with it tomorrow, he just has in mind that he's going to leave it. Not that he's going to sprinkle it, which would be achilas mizbeach. Not that he's going to eat it, which would drink it, which would be achilas adam. He just has in mind that he's going to set it aside. He's not going to do anything with it. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible. Yud Zayin Amud Bey is about a little bit past the middle of the Amud. Yud Zayin Amud Bey.
In the middle?
About a little past the middle, line begins with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So, Amar Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar says on that, we have confusing, we have twice on the same line over here, Reish Aleph, but one means Rav Elazar and the other means Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar is Rav Elazar ben Shamua, he's a later generation than Rav Elazar. Okay, so Amar Rav Elazar, Afazu Rav Elazar, Koyt of Achaman Machim. So Rav Elazar says, actually, in that case also, you have the Machloikas, Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, where Rav Elazar is going to say, in this case, where you had in mind, like this, we have Mishnah starts by saying, Rav Yehuda says, that it's possible if he has in mind to leave it over for tomorrow. At this point, by the way, the Gemara is trying to assume, as we're going to see, that we only have two opinions. As much as possible, when we have a Machloikas, we would rather try to assume that we have two opinions rather than three. So far, we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda represents one version of what Rabbi Eliezer says, and Rabbi Elazar represents the other opinion of what Rabbi Eliezer says. So Rabbi Elazar says that also in this case, it's not just Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible, which would imply everybody says it's possible. No, in this case, the Chachamim would say it's kosher, and only Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible. So we have to figure out Rabbi Yehuda al-Libba Deman. We have to figure out which of the opinions is Rabbi Yehuda following when he says outright that it's possible. Are you going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is following the Rabbanan, that he's saying, in other words, that the Rabbanan would say that's possible? How could that be? Hashka, now let's consider. Madach in the case where he has in mind to eat from the blood of the korban or drink it, or whatever, and the Chachamim still say, Machshir Rabbanan, the Chachamim still say it's kosher because that's achilas mizbeah, having in mind for a person to eat, and the Chachamim say you can't interchange them. Chacham, like Koshkin over here, where he only has in mind to set it aside, how much more so that the Chachamim shouldn't say it's possible. Especially because I think the Chedushim on Yechat and Marashba point out, any time he has in mind to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, of necessity, that means he plans to leave it over for tomorrow. So therefore, if he has in mind to leave it over for tomorrow, that should be less stringent than having in mind to drink it tomorrow. Because the leaving it to drink tomorrow obviously implies that he's leaving it over for tomorrow. So if the Chachamim say it's not even particular if he has in mind to drink it tomorrow, how much more so if he's just going to say, I'm going to leave it over tomorrow? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, when Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible, he must mean that he understands Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that it's possible. The Chachamim would say it's kosher by Kav HaChomer, as we just said. And then the Omer Rabbi Elazar, so now Rabbi Elazar comes in and says, no, Afazu Rabbi Elazar post of Acham Machshirin, and then Rabbi Elazar would say that Rabbi Elazar says it's possible Acham Zayt Kosser. Now we're not done yet because then we have to ask Rabbi Elazar Hainu Rabbi Yehuda. Well, then isn't Rabbi Elazar saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is saying Rabbi Elazar would say it's possible. Rabbi Elazar is also saying that Rabbi Elazar would say it's possible. So what's the difference? Elo lav kores ikabinayu. Obviously, the machlokes between them must be, does Rabbi Eliezer say he chayav kores on it? Did Rabbi Yehuda, or the Tanakama, sober lahaniyach sula ba'alma, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are two ways of saying it, because Tosfos points out that we can call Rabbi Yehuda the Tanakama of this braisa. In fact, Tosfos learns that what it is that the beginning part of the Braisa, when it talks about Lishtos Megamer Lamacher, Lahakim and Sari Lamacher, Tosfos assumes that whole part is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Until we get to the part where we say that Rabbi Yehuda posel. Because you find such things. Sometimes you find Braisas, and sometimes even Mishnayos like that, where it'll start saying something anonymously, and then later on it'll mention the opinion, then it'll mention a particular Tana's name, and what it means is he said all that part until this point. So over here, that's what it would be. So Rabbi Yehuda would be the Tanakhama of this Braisa. So therefore, we can call him the Rabbi Yehuda, or we can call him the Tanakhama. Sober, he holds Vahaniyah Sula Ba'alma. He would hold like this. If he has in mind to only set aside the blood to leave it for tomorrow, not drink it, and not pour it on the Mizeah, Sula Ba'alma, then it would only be possible. Derabbanan. Vahanach, whereas in the other cases where he has in mind, to drink it or to burn the meat or whatever, then Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's actual pig or an entire part. That would be the first part. That's the point. What we have, in other words, just leaving it for the, hold on. What we're saying is like this. if we assume that the first part of this, if we assume that the whole machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar in how to understand Rabbi Elazar is regarding Karis, and we have to say that because otherwise they're saying effectively the same thing. Then the result is like this. The beginning part of the Braith that talks about where he has in mind, he's shechting the korban, having in mind to drink the blood tomorrow or burn the meat tomorrow or what have you. Is it possible maybe to set that up later, seeing as how we're trying to learn here and it's making a lot of noise? I don't know. All right. I don't know. He said he can't come back later. Whatever. Okay. So again, we're saying like this. If he has in mind that he's doing the shechita, that he's going to drink the blood tomorrow, etc., then the bride has started off by saying that. What? Exactly what it sounds like. He has in mind to leave the blood for tomorrow and drink it tomorrow. The blood of the carbon. Oh, yeah, you don't drink it. Oh, that's the point. That's the point, in other words. That's the point. He's having in mind to take something that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach and drink it. That's Achilas Mizbeach and Achilas Adam interchange, which we've been discussing before. The Rabbi Eliezer says can make a carbon tiggle, and the Chachamim say not. So we would say like this. Of course you're not allowed to drink blood, but he's going to be chayav karis for drinking the blood itself. We're talking about, does the carbon become tiggle? We're dealing with the question, can this machshava make the carbon tiggle? What we're saying is like this. The Braitha starts by saying that Rabbi Eliezer poisel. We would assume that when he says poisel in that case, he means that it would actually be chayav karis, whereas lahaniach sol ba'alma. So when it comes to just leaving it over for tomorrow, that would just be poisel midrabam. Bahanach, when it comes to the thoughts about drinking the blood, etc., karis nami lechayav, then it would be full-fledged tiggle, and the person would be chayav karis for eating from that service. What?
Drinking blood
is the chayav karis anyway, but here we're talking about if somebody else eats from the korban, is he chayav karis? Is he over on the issur of tiggle? The author of a laws of a maimer, idi postal, the ember karis. And then Rabbi Elazar comes and says that no, in both cases, Rabbi Elazar would say it's only postal, not tiggle. So there you go then. There we see. So Rav Asi said earlier that apparently we have two understandings of Rabbi Eliezer. One who says that in these cases of interchanging Achilas Adam and Achilas Mizbeach, one says it's Pigel, the other one says, which would be Darai, so the other one says Tosul Midrabanan. That seems to be the two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar within Rabbi Eliezer. So there you go. You have two opinions. So therefore, no contradiction of the fact that we said before that Rabbi Eliezer is learning from the Pasuk, because Rabbi Yehuda would say Rabbi Eliezer is learning from the Pasuk. Rabbi Elazar would say Rabbi Eliezer is getting it from some other source. Or he's saying that it's only a Xer Midrabanan. That's the thing. If it's Pigel, it's Karek. If it's not Pigel, it's not Karek. However, the Gemara says, loy, no, you don't necessarily have to say that that's what it means. Not necessarily is Rabbi Yehuda trying to tell us Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. It could be that there are actually the Hach of Gimel Machloikas V'Dover. You could actually have you a three-way Machloikas.
We didn't want that.
We didn't want that, but we could say that. Not necessarily do you have to say that there's an argument within what Rabbi Eliezer says. You could have that there's actually a three-way Machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar. Tanakama Sover, the Tanakama of the Braita, which would be Rabbi Yehuda, we were saying, or not necessarily, actually, the Tanakama might be yet another opinion then. Before we were assuming that the whole Braita is like Rabbi Yehuda, now we have to say not necessarily. So, Tanakama Sover, Bahanach Pli. The Tanakama of the Braita holds that in the cases where he had in mind to drink the blood or eat the Amorim, etc., then we would have, Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's possible, because, not because of a Dinda Raisa, but only because Dirabonan, because he makes a Zera, because if you come to that, then you might also have a Machshava Kedarsa, you might end up having a Machshava to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, which would make a Piggle Daraisa. So therefore, if he had in mind to drink the blood tomorrow, Rabbi Eliezer is concerned. That's too easily confused with the case where he has in mind to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, which would be Daraisa, which would be Tigal Daraisa. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to make that zera. Lahaniach Divrahakal Kosher, whereas the Tanakama would say that if he had in mind just to set aside the blood and not do anything with it, then we're not going to make a zera on that. Because, no, so that's the thing. We would say that according to the Tanakama, everybody, the Tanakam, according to the Tanakam, the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer would agree that if he had in mind to set aside the blood and not do anything with it, then we're going to say the korban is kosher. Because after all, what's the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that the korban is kibul, if he has in mind to eat or drink something. So we're going to say, okay, eating and drinking, if he has in mind that he's going to eat it, or he's going to eat this, and we're going to make a zeta d'rabbanan if he has in mind to eat the part that's supposed to be burnt or sprinkled or whatever on the mezeach, but just setting it aside is far enough away from the thing, all right, so that Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold, you don't make a zeta. And also, Rashi adds another detail, we're not going to say, according to him, unlike we're going to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda in a second, that we might have to make a zeta that if he has in mind to leave some of the blood tomorrow, maybe we should make a zera because he might instead have in mind to leave all of it over. If he leaves some, he might come to leave all. So Rashi says that according to the Tanakhama over here, we're saying we're not making such a zera. So that's one opinion. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with you, Tanakhama, that in the cases of drinking the blood or eating the emurim, etc., then you have the machlokes. The Chachamim are going to say that's not kibul because he had in mind achilas adam regarding achilas mezeach or vice versa, and that doesn't make it kibul. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that it is kibul. L'haniyach divrei hakol posel, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, when I'm saying that l'haniyach is posel, I don't mean only according to Rabbi Eliezer, like we thought before. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, I mean that if he has in mind l'haniyach to leave it over for tomorrow, then it's going to be, then everybody is going to agree that it's posel. Why? My time, a zera mixed up domai, also called domai. Because we would make a zera that if he has in mind to leave some of the blood for tomorrow, then we might easily confuse that with the case where he has in mind to leave all the blood for tomorrow. No, that won't make it tickle, but it'll make it possible because then effectively what you have is another case of noiser. Rashi brings from a Gemara that we learned in Zvatin that you have different stukim that it says regarding noiser. You have different stukim that it says regarding noiser, and one of them implies, at least the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, that if you leave over all the blood for tomorrow, then the korban is possible. I'm disagree with him over there, but the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, given that I hold, if you have in mind to leave all the blood over for tomorrow, the carbon will be possible, just by having it in mind. We're not even talking about actually leaving it over, of course, the carbon is going to be possible because the blood wasn't sprinkled. But having it in mind, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be enough to make the carbon possible. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, within that, therefore, I have reason to say that the Chachamim should make a zera that even if he only has in mind to leave over some of it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, it's not even relevant to the Machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, because we're not even talking about the case where he's having in mind to eat something that's meant to be burned on the Mizeach. He's only having in mind to leave it over. But the reason why it's possible, nothing to do with Tigel, but because of the Zeres HaKosov regarding the Machshava of leaving over the blood. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will apply only to the whole blood. And he says, the Chachamim will make a Zera on that also if he had in mind to leave over some of the blood. Whereas the Tanakama of our Brisa doesn't hold with that. Therefore, he's going to say, if he has in mind to leave over some of it, then there's no problem. It's kosher.
That's because if one has in mind to leave over.
So that's the thing. That's what we're discussing over here. Yehuda is going to say the very fact that he had in mind to leave some of it over tomorrow is enough to make the current possible that I bought him. Okay. Choice to ask the question, in that case, why don't we make the same zero when it comes to drinking it? If he has in mind to drink some of it, we should make a zero because he might have in mind to drink all of it. Choice says, because when he says, Lishka's Domai, implies that he intends to do the Zrika and then drink whatever's left over afterwards, where L'Aniyach Midomai could mean that he plans to do the Zrika, or it could mean that he doesn't plan to do the Zrika. Okay. Yeah. Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Amar Lahem Rabbi Yehuda, as we learn in the Braisa, which we learned in this that was saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you had in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow, that itself makes the korban possible. If you had in mind all of it, then it would be Daraisa, and if you had in mind some of it, then the Rabbanan. We know that because of a Braisa that we learned in Zvachim. Amar Lahem Rabbi Yehuda, don't you, Chachamim, agree with me that if you actually left over the blood for tomorrow, the korban would be possible because the blood would become nicer? well then, chishav la mitzvah l'masor nami posel. Then if he has in mind just to leave it over, then that would also make the carbon posel. The Chum disagree with that. They say leaving it over, of course, the carbon will be posel, because the blood wasn't sprinkled on the day that it needed to be, and therefore the not pigel, but posel. It will be posel because the blood wasn't sprinkled on the day, and therefore the blood became posel. But there's no such thing. Having a machshava to leave the blood for tomorrow, that it would make the carbon posel, said the Chum. Okay. That's opinion number two. But also, Rabbi Elazar, the Maimer, and then Rabbi Elazar comes and says, no, after do Rabbi Elazar post of a Chum machshirin. No, also in this case, this that you're saying that when it comes to Lahaniyah, the Tanakhama says everybody agrees it's kosher, and Rabbi Hodahol says everybody agrees it's possible. Rabbi Elazar says actually Rabbi Elazar has the same machloitis with the Chachamim as Rabbi Hodahol. Rabbi Elazar would say it's possible from having in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow. The Chachamim would say it's possible. So that's the three-way machloitis that we're saying. So we don't have to say that Rabbi Hodahol is trying to tell us only according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda may have his own understanding of, Rabbi Yehuda may have his own, he may say that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing in some cases. Sure, everybody agrees that they're disagreeing in some cases. But he's going to say the case of Lahaniyach is not relevant to that. The case of Lahaniyach is a whole separate thing. Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say it's possible, but I, Rabbi Yehuda, say that it is. Fine. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say that everybody, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, say that having in mind to leave over the blood tomorrow makes it possible. If he had in mind all the blood, it would be possible. Right? If he had in mind some of it, then Jirabah, because of the grace. So the Machlokas is only about if he had in mind to drink the blood, or would be saying more, etc. So now the question is, the sovereign of Yehuda la'aniyach midomi l'mocha divahak apostle. You're telling me that Yehuda holds that if he has in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow, everybody agrees it's apostle. In other words, he's saying that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim will agree to that. Now Rabbi Elazar, the way we just explained it now is Rabbi Elazar is going to say that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim disagree on that case. But we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Elazar on that and says that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer agree that it's possible in that case. The problem with that is the following story. The Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. Omer Rebbe, the problem with understanding Rabbi Yehuda that way is going to be based on the following story. The story is going to take us some time, but after we finish the story, then we're going to analyze the details of it, and then we're going to see that we seem to be able to deduce from there what Rabbi Yehuda holds on this subject. Namely, like this, the Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. Omer Rebbe, Shalachti l'masayt midoysay etzor of Elazar ben Shamua. Rabbi Yehuda Amasi says, when I went to squeeze out my midday by Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, what is my midday? It actually says means my learning and my status. He had learned already a lot on his own, and now he wanted to go to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua to squeeze out, to get out, to make sure that every detail of his learning is correct, and to take care to get all of his doubts in learning answered. That's what Masis Midosai. The Amrilah, or another version of what Rabbi said, is Masis Midosav Shal Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. The other version is that Rabbi said, I went to squeeze out the Midos of Rabbi Elazar, meaning, in other words, to learn and find out in what way, what Rabbi Elazar knows that I don't know yet. Anyway, so Rebbe says, I went to learn by Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Matsasi Yosef HaBavli Yosef Lefana. I found Yosef HaBavli, that was his name, was sitting in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua as a Talmid. And he was very dear to him, Ad La'acha, until one. Who is dear to who? So, Rashi says like this. Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation is that it means that Yosef, the Talmud, was very dear, was very beloved by Rabbi Elazar the Rebbe. So Rabbi Elazar is teaching Yosef Habavli all kinds of halachas until eventually one day they reach this particular halacha that we're going to talk about. Or that's what we mean Abla Acha. Another explanation Rashi says is that it means the other way around. Yosef considered everything that Rabbi Elazar taught him to be very precious, and he accepted it until they got to one halacha, which, as we're going to see in the story, Yosef HaBavli had a problem with the way Rabbi Elazar taught this halacha. Those are two explanations in Rashi. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Nissim a couple of other explanations. One explanation is Ad La'achas means very much. And another explanation, Tosfos says, is Ad HaNefesh Shenikras Yechida. We know that there are, the Neshama has five names, representing the five levels of it. The highest level is called Yechida. So it means they had a, it means he loved him, they had a Yechida connection. They had a very deep spiritual connection. Ben Yehoyada says, Lachas, according to that, we mean Yechida, right. The Ben Yehoyada says yet another possibility. Yeah. The Ben Yehoyada also gives an interesting explanation. He says sometimes you love someone or something because of the benefits you get from it. Al-Derech, like I said, what he says in Tirkei Avos about Abba Shifluya B'davar. But then you have the kind of essential love that doesn't depend on anything else, let's say like between a father and a son or whatever. Even if the son disappoints the father or whatever, the father still loves him. Not because he's getting anything from him, but just because they have that deep connection. That's the kind of deep connection that it means that they had over here. Anyway, the point is,
No, but
they're Rebbe and Talmud. But you know what? There's a famous verse that one of the Rebbeim said. We know that Shir HaShirim is written in the form of Shir HaShirim, which is all about the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, is written in the form of a mashal about the love between a man and a woman. There's a verse from one of the Rebbeim who said that if Shlomo HaMelech had known about the relationship that a Rebbe and a Chassid could have, then he would have written Shir HaShirim as that kind of metaphor instead. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's Yosef HaBavli and Rav Elazar. He's called from the Kalavim, but he still is a limit how much he could see the future. Okay, fine. Anyway. Amalai, so one day Yosef HaBavli asked Rav Elazar and Shemur, Rebbe, Hashoychet et HaZevach l'haniach midomei l'mocha. In this case that we're talking about, if somebody shechs a korban, having in mind during the shechita that he's going to leave the blood over, that he's going to leave some of the blood over for tomorrow. Mahu, what does it mean? Is the korban kosher or not? Amalai kosher. So Rav Elazar ben Shamor told him it's kosher. Arvis Amalei kosher. In the evening, he asked again. And again, Rav Elazar told him it's kosher. Shachlis Amalei kosher. Saharayim Amalei kosher. In the middle of the day, he told him. Yosef HaBavli kept on asking throughout the day. And every...
Wait. It's coming?
Wait. Mincha Amalei kosher. Ela Sherab Eliezer poistol. When it came Mincha time and Yosef HaBavli asked again, Rav Elazar ben Shamor told him, it is kosher, however, Rav Eliezer says it's kosher. So Habu Ponov Shal Yosef HaBavli. So Yosef HaBavli's face lit up. He was very happy that he had heard this. That's what Rashi says in his second explanation, Adla Achas, that up until this point, Yosef HaBavli always accepted everything that Rav Elazar ben Shamor taught. And now all of a sudden, now this one, he didn't like it. That's why he kept on asking again and again until he got the answer that he was looking for. Amalai, so Rav Elazar ben Shamor tells him, Yosef, kimjumani shalei kivavnu shmur seinu adasa. Apparently we haven't made our shmurs, we haven't, our teachings of Torah, equal up until now. In other words, apparently there have been things I've been teaching you before that you didn't accept.
Why are you saying that?
Well, because like this, you asked me over and over about this again, so what's going on over here? Does this mean that other times when I've taught you things, you didn't consider that they're a liber d'hilchasa, you didn't think that they're valid according to halacha? On the loy, he says, Rebbe, no, yes, I always accepted everything you said. This time was different. Ella should Rabbi Yehuda possible shanali. What happened was like this. Rabbi Yehuda had taught me, Yosef HaBavli, that in this case where he has in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow, he taught me possible. V'chazarki al-kol talmidah v'vikash to be chavir v'leim asasi. I went around to all of Rabbi Yehuda's other talmidim looking for somebody else who could confirm what I had heard from Rabbi Yehuda. And I couldn't find any, so I was doubting myself. Did I hear it properly or whatever? Now that you, Rav Elazar, taught me that Rav Eliezer says it's possible, you've returned me what I've lost. Now I understand that I wasn't just hearing things, that there's actually a... Well, that's the point. In other words, yeah, that it was what he taught him.
No.
Yeah. All of this time, whenever you taught me halachas, I had no problem with it. I accepted them as given, right? But now, when you taught me this one, I couldn't accept it, and I'm asking again and again because I have to figure out what's going on, what's this possible that I learned from Rav Yehuda. Zogu ein of Dmaris to Rav Elazar ben Shamor. Rav Elazar ben Shamor's eyes started screaming with tears. Omar, he says, Ashreichem Tamid Chachamim, how happy are you, Tamid Chachamim, Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Aleichem B'Yosef, that words of Torah are so exceptionally precious to you. That, and in fact, Daniel Yoda says on a verse that the Yavin in Tillim, for example, David HaMelech uses the expression, I rejoice greatly at your Torah, like somebody who finds great spoils. So the point is, yeah, when a person learns a huge thing in Torah, sure, they'll be very happy about it. But to see something like this, it's one particular detail in Torah, and Yosef HaBavli's face lights up when he hears that. That's what Rabbi Elazar Shemor is saying, to give a Torah Chavit Malai can be Yosef. That give a Torah is so precious to you that even the tiniest bit of Torah is important to you. Kara Olava Mikra Zen, he said, and you apply the process. Ma Ahafi Sarasacha Kolayim Itzichasi V'Zan. How I love your Torah. All day long, it's my conversation. Because all day long, Yosef HaBavli has been asking him again and again throughout the day, what's the din on this? Okay. And now, why? Now, so how did it come that Rabbi Huda is teaching you Pasul? Says Rabbi Elazar Ben Shemor, since Rabbi Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yehuda plain in chat in throughout Mishnayos and throughout chat is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So Rabbi Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Loi Talmidei Shel Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Loi in turn was a Talmid of Rabbi Eliezer. L'fichach shana l'cham mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. That is why Rabbi Yehuda taught you what Rabbi Eliezer holds. So that explains why Rabbi Yehuda taught you Pasul. Okay. Thus far, the story.
Because
that's what we're saying. That's the question. Rabbi Yehuda, before the story, we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds not only Rabbi Eliezer, but also the Chachamim, say it's possible, what he has in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow. Now, on the face of it, we're saying only that Rabbi Eliezer holds that way. So what do you mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds that everybody holds that way? Okay. So that's what we have to figure out. The East Africa guys of Divrei Hakol Pasul Asniyeh. Now, if you're going to tell me that when Rabbi Yehuda taught Yosef HaBavli, when he said Pasul, he taught him that everybody agrees Pasul. Then why is Yosef HaBavli so happy and saying you returned me what I lost? So you approve this commonly. Rabbi Elazar, Ben Shamura, is not telling him everybody holds this way. He's telling him Rabbi Elazar holds that way. So it's still not exactly the same thing as he heard from Rabbi Yehuda. So why is Yosef HaBavli so happy that now you've returned me what I lost, that now you've confirmed what I learned from Rabbi Yehuda? It's two different things. Rabbi Yehuda says everybody holds this way, and you, Rabbi Elazar, are saying that only Rabbi Elazar holds that way. So it's not the same thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemor, flips the Kamalei, is telling him it's a machlokes. But obviously we have to understand, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda himself also understood it to be a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. And therefore, that's what it would be. When Rabbi Yehuda taught Yosef HaBavli, he taught him that Rabbi Eliezer holds his kosher, the Chachamim holds his kosher. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Shemor says exactly the same thing. Good, you return me what I lost. But in that case, that contradicts our understanding of Rabbi Yehuda before, where we said before that Rabbi Elazar holds that way of that machlokes, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, because everybody agrees it's kosher. Okay, so the Gemara answers that. Elamai, so what are you going to say? Kosher v'Rabbi Eliezer poisel asnei. So what are you going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that you're going to tell me as you're trying to explain now that Rabbi Yehuda says like Rabbi Elazar that's machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim of his time that the Chachamim would say it's kosher, Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible, and that's what he taught Yosef HaBavli. Then in that case, you have to ask, that doesn't work either with the story. What do you mean that he's saying the reason why Rabbi Yehuda taught you that way is because his father was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer? Klugta, so he's just teaching us as a machloikas. And then not as klugta come up in. And good, we're also learning as a machloikas. So in that case, what's the chiddush? Rabbi Elazar ben Shemor is saying, you know why you heard that way from Rabbi Yehuda? Because his father was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. If Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees that it's a machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, and he taught Yosef HaBavli that way, then what's the chiddush? Of course, he's teaching the one opinion, and he's teaching the other opinion. That's normally how you do it. You teach both opinions. So forget, we should have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda taught him that everybody agrees this way. So obviously the answer is no. We have to say that Rabbi Yehuda did tell him everybody says it's possible, which agrees then with how we learned earlier on the Amud, at the top of the Amud, when we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in that case would agree it's possible. Yes, that's how Rabbi Yehuda held, and he taught Yosef HaBavli that way. When he taught Yosef HaBavli it's possible, he meant just like that. Everybody agrees it's possible, because that's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim say it's possible. So So in that case, why is Yosef HaBavli so happy and saying, you returned me what I, you restored me what I lost? The answer is, because at least Rabbi Lazar, told him, there's somebody who says it's possible. Okay, so Rabbi Lazar and Rehoda's understandings of who says it's possible are different. Rabbi Lazar's understanding is that only Rabbi Eliezer says it, and Rabbi Yehuda's understanding is that everybody says it. But at least up until that point, when Rabbi Lazar is only telling in kosher and not even mentioning the opinion, that there's even an opinion that's possible, then that bothered Yosef HaBavli. Now that he told him at least there's an opinion that it's possible, then fine. Yosef HaBavli says, okay, so fine. Rabbi Lazar, your understanding of the machloekas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is a little different than Rabbi Yehuda's, because he holds there's no machloekas, he holds everybody holds this way. But fine, at least you confirm that there is such an opinion.
Before that,
Yosef HaBavli could have fought. Rabbi Lazar ben Chamor is telling him over and over again, kosher, without mentioning a dissenting opinion. So Yosef HaBavli, at that point, is not sure.
Implying
that everybody would agree it's kosher, right. So he was bothered because he had heard from Rabbi Yehuda that everybody says it's possible, yeah. But now, at least, that Rabbi Lazar is kind of splitting the difference and saying one opinion says it's kosher, one opinion says it's possible, then fine, Yosef HaBavli is satisfied with that.
But maybe initially, he was getting just his opinion.
No, because if he's asking him, no, because you sure, you expect to know him to say all the opinions. So, okay. Then maybe he's asking him because he wants to know practical halacha. Maybe what it is Rabbi Lazar thought that Yosef HaBavli is asking him for practical halacha. Practical halacha is like Rabbi Chaim, not Rabbi Eliezer. So when he sees him asking over and over, then he finally gets. Okay. Right. Mishnah 10. Continuing with, okay, so now we're done with the topic of Pigel for now, and now we're going to go on to other things that are required and not required for a mincha to be kosher.
That shows how it's important to present all the opinions.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the mission is now going to continue with other things that, and by the way, you find this kind of thing a lot of times in Mishnayos, where you'll have the first Mishnah of a new Perek continue the topic of the previous Perek, and then the second Mishnah will start off a new topic. I have no idea why, but classic example you have of it is in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, where the third Perek of Rosh Hashanah begins with one Mishnah that continues on the Dinim of Tochus Kiddush HaChodesh that we dealt with in the first and second Perekin, and then the second Mishnah and the rest of the Perek deal with the Dinim of Tzias Shofar. Why is that? It's a good question. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Mishnah says. Now, when it comes to a mincha, you have many stages in the making of a korban mincha. Among the early stages of it are like this. You have most menachos involve flour and oil. You have a few menachos, we learn the minchas choyta and minchas choyta, that don't involve oil. But most menachos involve flour and oil. What? No, not wine. Wine is minchas nesachim, yet wine is brought along with it, but it's not mixed together. The normal procedure, therefore, with a mincha that involves oil is, now you have like this. We learned before that the mincha has to consist of an isara in a flour. We'll learn later on in the Sefer that you're able to bring up a larger mincha. The mincha also consists of a lug of oil, and you have a machlokes later on in the Sefer. Is it that a larger mincha, a mincha yachid, that is, we're not talking about mincha, menachas of tzibur are different. Does a mincha of a yachid, as a mincha is larger, does it also get more oil or not? If a person, let's say, says that I'm going to bring a mincha of 10 esrainim, do you mix 10 logim of oil and say it only one? It's machlokes just later on and on the fact. Anyway, the point is, you have oil and you have flour. The procedure involves like this. You start by pouring some oil into the keli, where you're going to mix the mincha. Then you pour in the flour. Then you mix together the flour with some of the oil that you put in already. Then you pour the rest of the oil in. You have to have all the oil in, otherwise you pour some of the oil. So let's say you have a lug of oil. So you pour in, let's say, half a lug of the oil. Then you pour in the flour. Then you mix it, and then you pour the rest of the oil on top of that. We'll learn later on in the Sefer why that is. That's how it is. Yeah. Hold on. The fact that it's supposed to be in that order, we're going to learn later on, the seventh Keres. Our Mishnah is going to tell us which of those things, if you left out, the Korban is still kosher. So the Mishnah starts off, Lo Yosak, if he didn't pour, which Rashi says means, let's say, instead of pouring in half of the lug at the beginning and leaving the other half to be poured in at the end, let's say he poured in the whole lug at the beginning and then put in the flour.
Yeah.
So that's lo yasak. So that's lo yasak means he didn't pour, but it means, you know, it can't be that he didn't pour as he left out some of the oil. If he left out some of the oil, it's going to be possible. We looked at the first parak. It means that he poured in all the oil to begin with and didn't leave any over to be poured afterwards. Or like bola, if he didn't mix the flour and oil together, but like potas, or he didn't break the mincha into pieces. Now, we've talked before about when it comes to a minchas yachad, there's five ways in which it can be made. It can be raw flour and oil, so minchas solus, and then you have four types which are baked or fried. You have two types that are fried, one in a shallow pan, one in a deep pan, and then you have two types that are baked. One as thick matzahs, and the other one as thin wafer-like matzahs. All the ones that are fried and baked have to be broken up. The pasuk says, "I'm impossible to break up pieces." You have to break it into pieces. So in this case, if you didn't break it up into pieces, nevertheless,
meaning they put it in the oven.
No, meaning in other words, they after it's taken out of the oven and placed into three charters, after that they break it up into pieces.
Why has to
be broken? Because it's costly. But Rashi points out a classical fact. Also, you have to take payments from it. And taking the kremis involves it has to be broken into pieces. Otherwise, how are you going to do it? So Rashi learns that when our Mishnah says white potas, and the Mishnah is going to end off that all these things, if he left off, the mincha is kosher, doesn't mean if he didn't break it at all. Rashi learns that it means if he broke up only the amount that he needs for the kremis and left the rest of it intact. The Rambam actually seems to learn differently because the Rambam just says white potas without specifying any details on that. So the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, for example, like Mr. Mari Kulfus says, yes, evidently the Rambam holds that you don't have to break it up at all. How are you going to take the kremis? Okay, so you take a kremis, so you dig into it with your fingers and take out a kremis, and then you brush off the extra part that's in the
toast. After it's baked.
No, we're talking about after it's baked. But in other words, you don't have to specifically break it into pieces. As you're taking the kremis, then yeah, you take out whatever you can grab with your hand, and then you brush off or break off or whatever the parts that are sticking out. So that's different than them doing sticks beforehand. Okay. The line Moloch continues the mission if you didn't salt it. And here you have a great deal of discussion, what exactly are we talking about needs to be salted. The Baruch Hanura says it means that the mincha as a whole needs to be salted. Which you have a number of the Acharonim asking on him, where do we ever find such a thing? Where do you find the concept that the whole mincha has to be salted? So they say we're talking about the kremis. And they say, even though it's true, everything that's offered on the Mizeah has to have salt on it, here we're talking about, okay, so he was over his mat with something without salt, but we're dealing with the question, is the mincha kosher or not? Fine, we could say that the Mishnah is implying the mincha is kosher, even though he didn't put salt on the kremis, because that's not something that's massive. It means he was over a lot. He offered something on the Mizeah that doesn't have salt. So he was over on Moisachis Melach Rishalakacha. Fine, he'll get Malkus for that. But the carbon itself, you could say, would still be kosher. Whereas again, the Baruch Hanura would say that means that he didn't salt the mincha as a whole. But of course, he would say the carbon has to be salted because that's gone there. Yeah. Okay. Continues the mission of Veloy Hainis, or certain menachos you have to waive. Certain menachos that specifically the mincha ta'omer and the mincha stoita have to be waved in all six directions. Loi higish, or all menachas have to, you take the keli with the mincha and touch it to the corner of the mizeach. One corner, yeah, the southwestern corner. So all those things, if he didn't do them, or if he put it on kitchen merubos, or if he broke it up into merubos, which Rashi says merubos means bigger size pieces than they're supposed to be. Rashi brings from later on in our Masechta, and then in the seventh parak, we're going to talk about the proper way to do it is that you break it into four, you fold it in half, you fold the baked or fried mincha into half, and then fold that into half again. So you wind up with four pieces. In this case, let's say he only broke it into two pieces or whatever.
It's pretty big though.
Yeah. Boy mushron, or you have some of the menachas that have to be smeared with oil after they're baked. In particular, you have the Rishike Masas, the ones that are baked as thin wafers, where they have to be anointed, smeared with oil after the bake. So in all those cases, Kshera, in all those cases, the carbon is kosher.
So you pour the oil, then you pour...
So the normal procedure is like this. You pour some of the oil, then you put in the flour, then you mix it, then you put the rest of the oil,
then
then according to the Baal Tanura, then he sold the whole thing. Then you put Levoin on top, and then you bring it to the Kohen, and he puts it, and the Kli Shardos, and takes it from there. And then he takes it, he touches it to the corner of the Mizeach, that's Hagosha. Then he, in some cases, he does Tznufa, with certain Menachas, he has to do Tznufa, and then he takes the Kohen, and continues from there.
What happens if he puts the Kohen first, and then he puts the oil?
I don't know. We'll learn about that later in the Mishnah. I don't know what to get into that. Okay. Fine. So in all those cases, the Mishnah is Sheda. In all those cases, the Mincha is Kosher. Basically, the reason boils down to that in order for something to be Ma'akiv, in general, we have a rule. When it comes for something to be Ma'akiv by a Korban, it has to be repeated twice. And these various things that we're mentioning in the Mishnah are not repeated twice. Therefore, they're not Ma'akiv. We'll see as we go through the Gemara of the Mishnah. Okay. So I'm going to start off. My lo yosa. What do you mean that he didn't pour in the oil? Even lo yosa klal. If you're going to say it means that he didn't pour it at all, can't. Equivocative. There the Torah clearly implies that it's massive. Rashi says two reasons. Number one, because it is repeated twice. This, that you have to have the pouring of the oil first, and then the soilus. It says by minchas soilus, and it says it again by minchas machlas. So it's repeated, therefore it's massive. Also, Rashi says another reason is because since it says Yafaka Allah Shemen Minchasi, he implies it must be that way and no other. So therefore, you have to pour the oil on top. So what do you mean that if he didn't do it, then it's kosher?
The Yafaka Shemen.
The Yafaka Allah Shemen Minchasi. Minchasi.
Without oil, it's not.
No. Obviously, you have to use the whole amount of oil that we learned before. But the point is, this that we're saying that you have to do the final pouring of oil. Clearly, you have to do that. The Torah is clearly implying that you have to do, that you have to have, leave over some of the oil and pour it at the end. So what does our Mishnah mean that lo yosakta would be kosher?
What did they get
into? The yosakta aleha shemen. You should pour oil on it. On it, meaning on the mincha as it's already being made. Yeah, meaning as you have the flour in there already. Before you put in the flour, it's not a mincha. Elo lo yosak koyen elozor. No, the answer is, when the Mishnah says lo yosak, means that it's not like this is supposed to be a Kohen does that Yitzchak, instead a Zor. So therefore, so the Mishnah is saying, nevertheless, the Korban is kosher. Zor is not supposed to do it, and in fact, the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Biyas Mikdash that if a Zor does do it, he's not Chayav Misa, because not an Avoda Tama, but nevertheless, actually it's interesting, because the Rambam uses the expression over there that he makes it possible, whereas in Hilchos Silva HaMikdash, he says it's not possible, as our Mishnah is saying. To how to reconcile those two statements of the Rambam exercises a lot of the notes of Kalim of the Rambam. How exactly to do that?
Every thing is completed, done by a Zor,
the rule for a Zor to be Chayav Nisa, we've learned this before, it has to be Avoda Tama, it has to be a complete Avoda, in the sense She'ein Acharei Avoda, there's no following Avoda. Here, the Yitzchak is only one stage of the process of bringing them in. Right, only if it's Avoda Tama. Meaning, for example, if he were to burn the claim of someone's day, he'd be chayav nisa for that, right? Okay, so if you're going to say, that lo yosak in our Mishnah means that a kohen didn't do it, means that a zor did. The question is, he hachi like bolol nami, then in that case, you would have to understand the next phrase in our Mishnah, when it says you didn't mix it, would have to mean like bolol kohen el zor, it would mean that a kohen didn't mix it, but a zor mixed it. What does that imply? Does that imply that if he didn't mix the flour and the oil at all, the korban would be possible? But we know it's not so, because v'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah towards the end of our Masechta that we talk about over there, how large a mincha can a private person bring? And the Mishnah says over there, the maximum size mincha that a person can bring is 60 isarim. Keep in mind, an isarim is a shir chala, so multiply that by 60 and you get an idea of the scale.
Not 20.
So the maximum size mincha a person can bring in one keli, actually, I should say. If a person makes a neder, let's say that I'm going to bring a mincha of 70 esronim, then the rule is, we're going to learn there, he brings 60 of them in one keli and 10 in another. But the 60 is the maximum in one keli, and the Mishnah discusses over there, and the Gemara discusses over there, why is 60 the maximum? One reason, the Mishnah says over there, is because shishin nivlolin, shishin v'echad ein nivlolin, because only up to 60 it can be mixed. 61 can't be mixed. So Rashi says there's two possibilities of what that means. Hold on. We have two possibilities of what that means. You have an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who says, again, I mentioned before, you have a machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. if a person brings a mincha larger than one isara in, do you also put more oil in? The Chachamim say yes. Two esra items get two logim, three esra items get three logim, etc. Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov says no. Even as the larger the mincha, the log of oil is always the same amount, no more, no less. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, once you have 60 isara in a flour, you can't really effectively mix one log of oil with 60 isara in a flour, with more than 60 isara in a flour. No. Wait, so you have, no, according to the Chachamim, the explanation would be, yes, you have 60 esroinim and you have 60 logim, but once you get to that size, it's physically impossible to mix it all together properly in one big cave. It's too big. I mean, in modern terms, you put it in a cement mixer, but they didn't have those in those days. So therefore, the rule is called shishin nivlalin, shishin ve'echad ein nivlalin. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that means you can't properly mix 60 isar in a flour with one log of oil. There's not enough oil to mix in properly. And according to the Chachamim, the whole mixture is too large to be able to mix effectively. Anyway, the point is, now in that Gemara, we discussed the question, so what? So what's the problem if you can't mix it? Well, it's not like Bolo Cheda. We learn in a Mishnah later on in our Mesechta that if you didn't, or not in a later on in our Mesechta, our Mishnah. We said, if our Mishnah, we say if you don't mix the mincha, it's kosher. Rav Zera says in this connection the famous rule, which you can see on the side over here in the third of the Shas, is good in about a dozen places in Shas. Whenever you have a korban that could have been mixed, then did you ever, the fact that you didn't mix it, it's okay, it's still not massive. But if it's impossible to mix it, then the bila is massive. In other words, what the Torah wants is, the Torah wants that you should have a mincha that's capable of being mixed. Once it's capable of being mixed, okay, so you didn't mix it, you were over on that, but nevertheless, the mincha is still kosher. A mincha of 61 or more esroinim, where it can't be mixed according to the different possibilities, then the Torah would pass. The Gemara brings this idea in a lot of places where generally the idea is if you have something that could have been done but it wasn't done, then it's still kosher to the other. But if you have it was impossible to do in the first place, then it's massive. It comes up in the halachas of chalisa. It comes up in halachas of bikurim. It comes up throughout Shas in many different contexts.
You wouldn't be allowed to pour water to produce it.
No. Okay, so therefore, the point is, we see that when it says in our Mishnah, Loy Bolal, it means at face value, that even if you didn't mix it, the mincha is still kosher. So what are you telling me that Loy Yotzak of our Mishnah means that somebody did the pouring of the oil afterwards, but it wasn't a koyin, it was a zar, then that doesn't fit with Loy Bolal, where we said that the lila doesn't have to be done at all, not by a zar, not by a koyin. The answer is midiriya. What kind of a question is that? Hakadisa or hakadisa? We said that the evidence. You didn't do the blue list. Still kosher. The answer is midiriya. Yeah. Midiriya. What kind of a question is that? What makes you bring up the question? Hakadisa or hakadisa? Each one has its own rules. Yes, the Mishnah says generically lo yotzak and lo bolal, but we're meant to understand that each one has its own rules. Lo yotzak means lo yotzak koyin el azar. The lo yotzak can't mean that nobody did it because you said it's ma'akiv, therefore it has to mean that azar did it. Lo bolal means lo bolal fall. When it says you didn't mix it, it means you didn't mix it at all.
And that's fine.
Right. Yeah. If azar did it, then it doesn't have to be mixed at all. So no matter who mixed it, then it's kosher to the other. Yeah, it didn't even have to be done yet.
How is it going to be a real...
So that's it. You still have the flour, you still have the oil, they weren't mixed together, but you still have them all in the keli and the krim. We'll take the krim instead. Okay. Alright. Then, that's the answer to the Gemara. That just because it says, well, your sack and my bowl all together doesn't mean they have the same rules. One of them has to be done, but if it was done by a zor, the mincha is kosher, and the other one doesn't even have to be done. It should be done, but if it wasn't done, then the evidence is kosher. Well, yeah. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Osha Possum Pitim Merubis Kshera. The Mishnah continued that if he broke it into large pieces, then it's kosher. So the question is, why do we need to say that? Hashtag Possum Klal Kshera. The Mishnah previously said that if he didn't break it up into any pieces at all, it's kosher. If he left the whole thing intact, Pitim Merubis Mibaya. What's the Chiddush of saying that if he broke it into large pieces, it's kosher, larger than it's supposed to be? The answer is my pitin merubah is shirilubah pitin. The answer is you're misunderstanding the word pitin merubah. You understood, you machin understood, as we learned in the Mishnah, that merubah means larger than normal. No, merubah means more of them than they're supposed to be. Shirilubah pitin, that he broke it into more pieces than it's supposed to be. Well, that's the point. So the Mishnah mentioned where he didn't break it at all. Now the Mishnah is mentioning the other possibility where he broke it into too many pieces. And in either case, we're saying it's kosher. The Ibai thing, or another possibility, La'olam pitin merubas mamish. You could say that after all, the word merubas literally means, as we understood it before, to mean extra large pieces. So why did the Mishnah have to say it? Because, umaudatayma, because if you didn't have the Mishnah saying that, you would think like this. You know why it's kosher if he didn't break it all? If he didn't break it at all, after all, it still has the appearance of challah. It's still, it was baked as one big challah or whatever, and or a bunch of small challahs, as the case may be, or whatever. And yeah, each one has the shape of a challah, and therefore, the evidence enough that they weren't broken. But if you broke it into larger than normal pieces, now it's like you're neither here nor there. You didn't break it into the right number of pieces, but each individual piece isn't a challah of its own. No, it's too large. Here you have, it's not a full challah, but it's not small enough to be the right size. Then you would think, the Gemara is saying, we might have thought like this. If it's a whole challah, then okay, it's kosher. If it's broken into pieces the right size, then it's also kosher. But if you have it broken into pieces that are too large, where therefore it's not a whole challah, and it's also not the right size pieces, it's too large, you would think maybe it's kosher, kamash malan, and that is the chiddush of the Mishnah, that nevertheless it's kosher. So we have two possibilities, then, that merubah can mean that he broke it into smaller than normal pieces, or that he broke it into larger than normal pieces. But I'm unpacked that both of them are kosher, that I'm accept both. The Gemara has left us with two possible understandings of merubah, and then Rambam passes with the other both of them are kosher. Okay. The Gemara says, Lema masnissin deloitcher abshin. Okay, when we have this list in the Mishnah of things that have to be done, and in particular, we said the first thing on the list was yisika, pouring the oil on top of the flour. We said that if a zor does it, it's kosher. Lema masnissin deloitcher abshin. Should we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon? The Tanya, namely, we learn in a Braita, Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, first of all, like this, Kol Koyin Sha'enei Moide Ba'avoida, any Koyin who does not admit to the truth of the Avoida, Ein Moi Chelek V'Kohona, he does not have a share in the Avoida of the Koyin. Now, what does that mean, Einim Moide? What is it? Well, because we're going to talk about it, because he's going to bring a list soon of what are the Avoida. What does it mean, Moide? What does it mean, Moide Ba'avoida? So you have a Gemara in Cholin that also brings it. Rashi over there explains that it means that he claims that the various details of the Avodah were not given to Moshe by the Eveshter, by Hashem, but rather that Moshe made him up on his own.
So he's not a
Kohen? So he can't serve as a Kohen. He can't do any of these Avodahs if he doesn't admit to it. And the Chelek B'Kohona, right. So you have the Foshim asked on that in that case, of course, he's an Apikoris, and why would he think he could? So they have various other explanations. They have various other explanations, including that Einim Moide Ba'avoida could mean, for example, that he holds that he claims, for example, that certain details of it are not Daraisa but only Darabanan, for example, or you have a couple of other interesting. The Chassam Sofer gives an interesting explanation on it. He says like this: the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, what's the reason behind Korbanos? Says the Rambam. The reason is, because you had in those days, you had all of the Goyish nations in the world all worshipped their various deities using sacrifices and whatnot, and therefore Hashem had to, so to speak, give us a way of doing the same thing. The Ramban takes very, very strong issue with the Rambam on that. The Ramban says absolutely impossible to say like that. There's deep secrets in the Korbanos. How could we say that Hashem is only doing it? You say Reach Michoach Hashem, and you're telling me it's only in order to give us something against the Avodah or whatever. So the Chassam Sofer says like this: what the Rambam means is, okay, granted, of course, the Korbanos have deeper reasons behind them. However, the fact of the matter is, we know that there are things that originally were done it l'shem shamayim, and they were acceptable. And later on, the goyim took them over and started doing them, and they became unacceptable. A maseva being a classic example at the beginning of Parashat Shoftim, that the obvious put up masevas and it was good, but we're not allowed. Well, I thought mocha maseva. Because the goyim started doing it, Prabhupada Zara. So the question would be, this is Chassam Sofer says, the Rambam is wondering then, in that case, why didn't Hashem do the same thing with Korbanos? Originally, you could argue that, yes, Korbanos were a valid way of connecting with Hashem, but once the goyim took it over for Prabhupada Zara, why is it still? And there, the Rambam says, the reason why Hashem left it in place is because that was the kind of thing that people were used to doing. So therefore, it says Chassam Sofer on our Gemara over here, Kol Koyin Shayim Moida Ba'avoida means that he only takes what the Rambam is saying at face value, that the only reason for Korbanos is because the Goyim do them for their gestures, and therefore Hashem gave it to us and therefore Hashem condescended to give it to us in order to serve him. And then he lost his Korbanos. Because he has to realize that there's deeper reasons behind it, and then that's that. Okay, anyway. Shenemar, because the process, so how do we know that, says Rav Shimon, that a Koyin has to agree to all the avoiders, that they're valid. Shenemar, because the process is a matter of Dama Shlomim, that's a Chalev of Me'ar, and the process says the one who offered the blood of the Shlomim and the Chalev of the Korban from the sons of Aaron, Loi Si Ashoik HaYom Lamona, to him shall be the right leg of the Shlomim as a gift, implying Moida Ba'avoida, only if he agrees that the avoider is valid. So it doesn't mean he actually did the avoider, but at least he agrees that it's valid. Yesh lecheles v'kohona, only he has a portion in the matonis of the kohona. She'ene moida ba'avoida, if he doesn't admit it, ein lecheles v'kohona. Now that's not the point, we're not bringing that in so far, that was just by the way. Now we're going to bring the essential point. The ein
lecheles v'kohona doesn't
believe in that. No, we're not talking about Yisrael, we're talking about Kohen. Okay, so. The Eli El Zubovad continues Rav Shimon. Now, we would only know from the Pasuk that it refers to the sprinkling of the blood and the burning of the Chelet, which I mentioned in the Pasuk. Minayim Rabbis Tesvav Avoidus, says Rav Shimon, how do we know to add also 15 other Avoidus? And here's the list. Hayat Sikkers, the pouring of oil over the Mincha. That's why we're bringing this in. Because we said in our Mishnah, the implication is that if a Zohar does it, it's okay. Rav Shimon seems to be saying, Koyin does have to do it. Vahablilos, mixing the Mincha, the flour and the oil together. Vahpsikis, breaking into pieces. Vahmalichos, salting the korban. Vahsnuchos, waving it. Vahagoshis, touching it to the corner of the Mizeach. Vahknissis, taking the knissa. Vahktoris, burning the parts that have to be burnt. Vahmalichos, doing malika on a bird korban. Vahkabolis, doing Kabbalah of the blood. Vahazois, sprinkling. Vahashkoach soita, the giving of the drink to the soita that has to be done by a Kohen. Vaharifas egla, and the decapitation of the egla for where they have to be the Kohen over there. Vataras Masurda, and the purification of a Masurda, the first part of it involving the birds and the eighth eras and whatever at the beginning of Parashat Masurda, that a Kohen has to do it. Unasias Kapayim, and Duchening, that all these things Bain the Snim, Bain Rachot. Some of these things are done inside. He counts them, whether we're talking about Duchening in the Beit HaMikdash or outside of it. Minayin, how do we know that the Kohen also has to agree that all of those are valid? Talmud Bainam, but Nei Aaron. Therefore, the prophet says, from the sons of Aaron, implying Avodah HaMasodah Libnei Aaron. That we're talking about any Avodah that is given over to Bnei Aaron to do. And all these things are given to Bnei Aaron. And therefore he says, Kol Koyin Shein and Moidabot, so if any Koyin doesn't agree that one of these is valid, Ein Lechelek Lekohona. So therefore, the point is, Rav Shimon is listing 15 things that he says have to be done by Koyinim. Yitzika is one of them. If on Mishnah implies, as we said before, that Yitzika can be done by a Zohar, then it's apparently not according to Rav Shimon. Amar of Nachman, like...
Doing the Yitzika and believing in
Rav Shimon is saying all these things are avoida hamasurah b'nei Aaron. These are all avoidas that are given over to b'nei Aaron, implying that they have to be done by b'nei Aaron. Okay, so let's finish up over here. Amar Rav Nachman loikasha. So Rav Nachman says there's no contradiction. Kan b'minchas koyinim, kan b'minchas Yisrael. One's talking about a mincha that's brought by a koyin, where there's no kmitza, everything is burnt on the fire. The other one is talking about a minchas Yisrael. Minchas Yisrael devas kmitza, a mincha that's brought by Yisrael. Since Kmitza is taken from it, and Mikmitza Ve'elach Mitzvah Kohona, and we know that only from the Kmitza and onward has to be done by the Kohen, because the process is that you bring it to the Kohen and become us, you limit or you sickle of Lilash Shreda Bazar, which implies, therefore, that by Mincha of Yisrael, if the pouring of the oil or the mixing was done by a Zohar, then it's kosher, then good. So our Mishnah is talking about that case. Rav Shimon is going to agree that that's okay. minchas koyanim, the law of knisah, as opposed to a minchas koyanim, where no koyanim is taken from it. Therefore, we have no source to say that only from the knisah and onward should be done by the koyanim. Then Rav Shimon is going to say that all of it has to be done by koyanim, including the yitzikah. That's what he's talking about in the braisa. Therefore, meikara boya kohana. Therefore, to begin with, it requires a kohen to be doing it because there's no point at which you can say there's knitsa from here on for the kohen to do because of minchas kohenim there's no knitsa. Okay, that's omalei rabba. So rabba asks him, that can't be. Nechti minchas kohenim meheches rabbi yisika. After all, where do you learn that a minchas kohenim has to have the oil poured over the top? Minchas Yisrael, you're learning it from a Minchas Yisrael. In that case, Mahotam Cheder Bazar, Achotanami Cheder Bazar. So you shouldn't have a way, you shouldn't have a reason to say that it's different with a Minchas Koyanim and a Minchas Yisrael. The same rules should apply to both. A Minchas Yisrael requires Knitsa, a Minchas Koyanim doesn't. Ikadamli, another version, Amr of Nachman, like Kasha Kanmin Ikmotis, Kanbashain Ikmotis. Another version of the discussion is that Nachman says one braisa is what our Mishnah is talking about ones that have a koyim taken from them. The braisa is talking about korbana, is talking about minachas in general that have no koyim taken from them. Not just the minchas koyim, but also minchas nesachim, etc. And Omalei Rava, and Rava says, same problem. Mechti she'en in the kmatzit meheches rabbi liyistika. After all, where do we know by those that you have to pour some of the oil over the top afterwards? Mini kmatzit. We learn them from the ones where the mincha, where kmatzit is taken. Therefore, kine kmatzit. Therefore, they have to be like the ones where the kmatzit is taken. Mahasam cheder bazar, achofinamik cheder bazar. They both have to be kosher if the pouring was done by a zar. Ela, machbar to masnitzin, like Reb Shimon. Okay, so we have no choice. We have to say our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Because we can't use Rav Nachman's logic that there's a difference between one kind of mincha and another. The fact is, all of them we learn yitzikah, we learn one from another. Therefore, the same rules would have to apply to both. If yitzikah is kosher by a zor, by a mincha yisrael, by a mincha that has a claim of taking it, then the same thing has to be true of the other kind. So that's it. So the mincha is not the mincha yisrael. The mincha that's brought by yisrael, mincha koyim, is a mincha that's brought by a koyim. Any mincha brought by a koyim, for any purpose, there's no knitsa, you take the whole thing and you burn it on the mizbeach. The whole minchas koyin kol will be a lot of alcohol, the father says.
So
there are
minchas belonging to
knitsa? Exactly, there are minchas where no knitsa is taken because the whole thing is burned on the mizbeach. Because it's brought by koyin. Also, minchas nesachim. Also, the minchas nesachim that's brought together with animal karbanas. In Rav Nachman's first version, he was focusing only on minchas koyanim. In the second version, he's focusing all, he's mentioning also minchas nesachim. Both times, because the knitsa isn't taken from either one.
But in a minchas Yisrael, if a zar brings the oil,
that's the point. We thought to say that according to Rav Shimon, we thought to say that Rav Shimon would make a distinction between whether a mincha requires knitsa, in which case we can say anything before the knitsa, including the pouring of the oil, can be done by a zar, versus one where there's no knitsa, where there's no such distinction. But Rava shlugs that up, and therefore we're left with, okay, of necessity, we have to say, Rav Shimon is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says if a zar does the yitzika, it's kosher. Rav Shimon is saying that a koyin has to do the yitzika.
And therefore we have to divide.
And therefore we have to say that our Mishnah is not a Rav Shimon.